2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from my office in the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can distinguish the difference between the truth and disinformation and indoctrination, and can recognize those clever gatekeepers. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com to see a list of guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments only during the program, email spingola1@yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna@spingola.com. Please hold your calls until we open the phone lines in the second hour. Then you may call at 800-313-9443. Despite the best efforts of the ADL, Zion Crime Factory's website is back up, and you can visit that website at ZionCrimeFactory.com. My guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is WVFoundations.org. Welcome to the program, Rodney.
Well, thank you for having me again, Deanna, and thank you for the opportunity to be on the program and share information.
And you do have a lot of information to share, and so let's get going.
Well, I want to take today's topic we talked about is the NSDAP policy on race. It wasn't hate, and I really like that topic. But I want to take 30 seconds and address an email query that you got from a very good one, actually, from one of your listeners. And this has to do with our topic that we had we discussed last show regarding the NSDAP economics. And your listener forwarded an email question regarding a book by Mr. Adam Tooze, and the book had to do with the National Socialist Economy, and the book was entitled The Wages of Destruction. And the premise of Mr. Tooze's book is that the National Socialist Economic Miracle was basically a fabrication, that there wasn't any real National Socialist Economic Miracle. And actually, Mr. Tooze is a humbug. He's one of these writers that's, and there's been a rash of them, particularly in the last 5 years. And I shared this on your program, Deanna. We see recently there was an article in the German media giving Konrad Adenauer credit for the Autobahn, believe it or not. And we know, I'm serious. And I mean, this is incredible. We seen an article just about 8 months ago giving a Jewish auto designer credit for the Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, there has been a rash of these absolutely ridiculous authors, and Mr. Tooze is one of them. He's a British author, much like Mr. Evans, who went and was paid to give bogus testimony against David Irving. And I will say I have some issues with Mr. Irving, but you have these authors that write this garbage to try to distract people, because there is a tremendous amount of real scholarship going on now. You cannot deny facts, and people are going now to what I consider the new generation, who are saying, well, I want to learn this for myself. And you cannot deny facts when you actually get in and really look at the facts. And so the premise of Mr. Tooze's book, and I have his book, I read it, and it was so, I had to read it twice to see if it was really that bad, and it was worse, because his whole premise is absolutely ridiculous. And so I would respond to your listener inquiry as to say that Mr. Tooze's book is absolutely not credible. He does not take into account the status of the German economy when the National Socialists took over.
Exactly. All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, Why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Rodney Martin. Just a couple of quick thoughts about this fellow, Adam Tooze. I was chatting with Zion Crime Factory this morning, and he said that the opposition is getting desperate. And that book by Adam Tooze, the British historian, currently a professor of history at Yale University, just provides further evidence of that fact. He, quite interestingly, he received his PhD in economic history from the London School of Economics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's actually, I consider him a professor of dishistory. And, you know, this business in these universities, particularly the institution that he is currently employed, churns out works to continue these fables of misinformation and lies. And these books are sometimes are required readings in universities. So students, you know, really are indoctrinated by this garbage and rubbish. And really, you know, really real good students actually will go out and go beyond, you know, this rubbish and read good texts. And I encourage your listeners, they can contact me at director@wvfoundations.org. I'd be happy to give them lists of really good sources, reading sources, to get some balance and then let them decide, where the truth lies. But Tooze's book is mere rubbish, and he has several omissions in it. He doesn't clearly factor the condition that Germany was in 1933. He makes assumptions and takes great liberties that the economic conditions were justified, and he's very loose on the central planning. He's almost making assumptions of central planning and National Socialist Germany was almost the same as it was in Stalin's Soviet Union, which is patently false.
Right.
So anyway, I don't want to spend any more time dealing with Mr. Tews because, like I say, I have the book, but I use it simply to have an idea as to what the village idiots are saying to the university students, but it'd probably make good birdcage material.
True. So,
moving on to our topic, Deanna, I think it's really important to preface as we move in, because that is our topic, what we're going to talk about today, is the NSDAP and race.
I just lost him. Is he gone? What happened to Rodney? Oh, okay, we're having a little bit of an internet connection problem. Apparently, that's very interesting. So we will just wait until we can connect back up with our guest today, Rodney Martin. And remember, he is the director of Worldview Foundations. And we are going to talk today about a Dr. Walter Gross, G-R-O-S-S, and he, as Rodney said, headed the NSDAP Office on Race, and he formed other specific NSDAP policy statements. And there's a very good article on this gentleman on the internet. It is at calvin.edu/academic/CAS/GPA/ Gross, G-R-O-S-S, 2.htm. And it does talk about how he developed the policies and why they were developed and the meaning behind them. And it was something that was important, but certainly he was not the first person Germany was certainly not the first country that talked about race and had race policies. Okay, we're back. Rodney, we're back.
I apologize. That was on my end. All of a sudden I was gone and I was talking.
Right. It could have been your internet connection. It could have been a Skype issue. It could have been something you were saying that people didn't want to be heard. So here we are. We're back.
Okay. Well, what I was wanting to preface as I go into the discussion is it's very important for people to understand what a nation is. It's been so distorted by Marxists and champions of political correctness and egalitarianism. You know, a nation is a community of people who share common language, culture, most important, ethnicity, descent, and history. And so, you know, this was a primary concern of the National Socialists and what was happening. And we talked previously about Weimar and what was going on in Weimar. And so the National Socialists had pledged to repair and fix this. So race was a component of the National Socialist program, no doubt about it. And it's not a bad thing. Marxists and Jewry and fools and foes have tried to make it into something that it wasn't. They still do. They try to, you know, there are those that say there's no such thing as race, with the exception of Jewry. If we look at Israel today, Israel has enshrined in their constitution that they are a Jewish state. And they have some of the most draconian, what they would refer to the Nuremberg decrees as draconian and racist and boogeyman laws. But yet the Israeli Jewish race laws make the Nuremberg laws look mild. So I wanted to preface what a nation is, what a real nation is, and draw a contrast. And what I wanted to focus on, Deanna, is some of the actual, what the laws and what the policies were. They just weren't go out and round everybody up as Hollywood likes people to believe and they indoctrinate. They were well thought out. They had the nation's interest at heart, the people's interest at heart. And some of the individuals that I want to highlight today is Walter Gross, who actually was in charge of the NSDAP Office of Enlightenment on Population Policy and Racial Welfare. And we're going to talk about also, we're going to highlight some comments by Gerhard Wagner, who is also, both of these men were physicians. These were educated men. You know, we've talked about in previous programs, the NSDAP was not hooligans and what some people would think of skinheads today. They were the best and the brightest. They were educated. The SS were composed of attorneys and economists, and they were very well educated, and these policies were very, very well thought out for the benefit of German society after being essentially raped during the Weimar period. But let's first begin, and I want to provide a quote as to what Adolf Hitler's position and policy and statements were regarding racial and social awareness in German nationalism. And here's a quote from him from 19 September of 1933 in a party newspaper. And this is him directly with regard to race. And you'll see there's no hate in here at all. And this is Hitler speaking insofar. Then, as we devote ourselves to the care of our own blood, that blood which has been entrusted to us by destiny, we are at the same time doing our best to help safeguard our peoples from diseases which spring from race to race, from people to people, in the West or Central Europe, but from one single people, we're all to fall victim to Bolshevism. This poison would continue its ravages. It would devastate the oldest, the fairest civilization which can today be found upon this earth. Germany, by taking upon itself this conflict, does but fulfill, as so often before her history, a truly European mission. You're seeing a lot of a vision in that statement, and there's some more, but I thought that was important. And then there was another statement that Hitler made in Graz, Austria, in 1938, where he said, "I am a German. I believe this Germany of mine. I believe in my people. I will not suffer that any alien force shall ever set limits to this, my faith. There can never be any true independence under foreign protection or at the wish of the foreigner. An independence which must be protected by the foreigner, there is not and there cannot ever be. I would rather go to ruin together with my people than accept such an independence." And we see that in Germany today. Has Germany ever really been free since 1945? I would submit that it is not. But there is two statements fundamental, and I wanted to, first start off with what the definition of a nation is and then provide what, there's two statements there on, racial policy and German nationalism by Hitler, and then again go into, because Walter Gross, as I spoke earlier, he ran the Office of Racial Policy from 1934 until 1945. And it was a large office within the NSDAP and the German government. And they were all essentially PhDs or physicians. And at the end of the war, when the war was coming to an end, Dr. Gross knew what would happen to these men. They would not be men and women. They would not be allowed to practice their profession. So he took all of the personnel files and destroyed them so no one would know. The Allied occupation authorities would know who worked in that office. He destroyed the files. He committed suicide.
Oh, my.
And that speaks to his honor. He had an interesting quote. Dr. Gross did regarding civilization. And he said, "Civilization is only possible through the individual becoming part of the whole or just as a collective authority in the interest of all limits and egoism of the individual. It similarly has the right to implement such measures for the benefit of the community as are scientifically provided expedient in the way of population policy or eugenics." Dr. Gross is also a major proponent of eugenics, as was the National Socialist policy, which, by the way, these policies, which we're going to talk about as we go through the program, was not unique to National Socialist Germany. They were widely implemented in the United States, and particularly where I live in the state of California. They were widely practiced in the state of California until the late 1960s, and I think the last one was priced until early 1970s.
All righty. We do need to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to coloradoriverlots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Rodney Martin, who is the director of Worldview Foundations, and his website is wvfoundations.org. And I believe that rational individuals actually practice a form of eugenics when they consider marital partners. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want to marry somebody that is different than you or that is intellectually below you. And you don't want to marry somebody that's, well, if looks are a consideration, you don't want to marry somebody that's really dreadfully ugly.
Well, let's be honest. Some of these, what I call these superficial liberals, Deanna, they're the ones that practice, some of the most overt racial policy. They live in the most, white gated communities, and yet they, what's good for what they're practicing is not good for them. And because they know they're hypocrites. They know they're hypocrites. And, they don't, for the most part, they don't engage in the race mixing that they promote and say that they're okay. They're actually pretty pretty vain. You'll see these 50 and 60 year old Jewish Hollywood moguls, with a very young, sometimes non-Jewish trophy wife, and usually they go through three or four of them because they believe that spouses have a shelf life. They have no values whatsoever. So, they do practice it, but they practice a very distorted form of it. You don't see them marrying someone with Down syndrome. You don't see them doing anything. You don't see them, marrying someone in a wheelchair, anything of that nature. These proponents of egalitarianism and such. And not that I'm saying that someone in a wheelchair can't be married, but what the conclusion that I'm drawing is a lot of these people that are promoting this this very unhealthy worldview and condemning National Socialism are hypocrites. They're just absolute hypocrites. And the statements that they make and the things that they say that National Socialism stood for are absolutely incorrect. National Socialism called for a healthy society. They called for the racial policy that National Socialism was proposing was actually mild compared to the racial policies in other countries, including the United States, actually. And right. one of the examples that I use is that Jesse Owens, spoke of this himself. We hear about the famous, Hitler snub, which is absolutely false. And Jesse Owens said that himself. It was actually Franklin Roosevelt that snubbed Jesse Owens and not Adolf Hitler. Jesse Owens was actually able to go into any restaurant under the front door in Berlin in 1936. And when he came home, he had to go in the back door in the United States. So the racial policies, and I have actually printed out the the documents, the actual laws, the actual racial laws, which we'll talk about during this program, and we can compare them to the laws that were in place in the other countries, and including some of the laws that are in place presently in some of the countries, and we'll find these laws were specifically designed to protect the nation, a real nation as we defined Deanna at the beginning of this program. And as we said, Dr. Gross was a physician. He was an educated man, and he did not hit the premise of his racial policy was protecting the German bloodline and protecting the German folk. The whole premise of the National Socialist position was that there would be a folk community, the perpetuation and the continuation of the German bloodline, which, by the way, had been decimated in World War I. And then you had the decadence and the social contamination under Weimar, and so there was a real legitimate concern as well. And Dr. Gross did not preach superiority by any means. He preached enlightenment. And basically what his statements were, and a lot of his work, he was very active. He published a lot, he spoke a lot, and I've printed out three of his statements, which we'll talk about today. But he actually said that he didn't want people thinking themselves as selfish individuals, but more or superior individuals, but as links in a greater chain of life. Now, I don't consider that to be a hateful statement whatsoever at all. By any means. He produced magazines called Neues Volk, which educated people on their heritage and on their culture. And someone may say, oh, so he produced a racist magazine. Well, I did some research in preparing for this topic, and just in the city of Los Angeles, I was able to find no less than 125 Jewish publications, either on the internet or in print, that are devoted to preserving the Jewish identity.
Wow!
Which is just in the city of Los Angeles. And I stopped looking after that. I stopped looking. One of them was called The Tribe, and one of them was called Jewish Journal, another one. I mean, I can go on to you. But here is a situation where, and I compare this, and they're very similar to what Dr. Gross was doing under Neues Volk, was promoting the German culture, preserving the culture, preserving the identity, and yet, if a European person of European descent or Germanic descent says, I want to do something to instill a sense of pride and preservation of my cultural heritage and identity, it is automatically considered racist.
Exactly.
And we have to get beyond that.
I'm sorry. It's interesting that they certainly don't talk about these kinds of things in the mass media. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin, and he was talking about the disproportional number of Jewish interest publications just in L.A.,
something that
we don't typically hear about.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to use that as an example as I get into, you know, now I get into some of the statements from Dr. Gross. And I'm really, as you can tell, I'm a fan of Dr. Gross, and a lot of his writings have gone lost. And I think I've mentioned this in a lot of program. I'm working with Dr. Alexander Jacob, who is a PhD in the Czech Republic and has done a significant amount of work on Dr. Alfred Rosenberg, and he and I are working together on a translation of Feder's book on slavery and usury, and we're going to be publishing that translation. But there is some of Dr. Gross's work that we're going to be bringing back into the public domain, because it's really important for people to, you know, when someone says Nazis are hate mongers and all that. And when I was very young, when people would say something, I was very, you know, curious, and I said, well, let me see what the facts are. But then again, I was raised by German grandparents who, you know, said, well, you need to go see if that's true. And I learned I'm very suspicious when you have the mass media blaring at you to think a certain way and telling you to think a certain way. And I think people should be as well. And I think a lot of young people are trending that way. So I think actually time is on our side if everybody pulls together and does what and works together. So getting back to the number of identity and self-interest publications, Deanna, you're absolutely correct, and I just did that just to prepare for this because there is a there is some hypocrisy that say the Jewish groups can have their publications and groups dedicated to their identity and their self-interest. African Americans or Negroes can have theirs. Asians can have theirs, but if Europeans, people of European descent, wants to have one, it's automatically considered a hate group, and you'll end up on a, some sort of list by one of these other groups, which is, you know, just silly. It's absolutely silly. Dr. Gross, like I said, was very, very active. He was a physician by that was his profession. He was had done extensive research, and he had spoke. He went out and was very active. We don't hear a lot of him because Hollywood and these academicians, and I use that term loosely, like Mr. Tews, they don't want people to hear. And the purpose, what I'm going to be doing with Worldview Foundations, is bringing these individuals into the public domain where people can read and hear from them. You don't hear from people like Dr. Gross and some of the others because they will clearly upset the apple cart on this narrative that people have been forced to be indoctrinated with, and people will really learn what National Socialism is all about. But in one specific radio address to young people, and this was in October of 1934, Dr. Gross spoke very, and this was dedicated to German youth. He spoke on the topic of race. And I'm going to read just a few excerpts out of here because I don't want to read the whole thing because there's actually, I've selected about four different speeches and policy statements to give the listeners an idea that the National Socialist race policy was not just, you know, absolute hate mongering. It had to do with preserving their nation, preserving the German identity, and assuring that the German nation was German. In fact, they had provisions for foreigners to live in the German nation as guests. There was ample provisions for that. But getting to Dr. Gross's speech, and the topic was race, he said, German youth, since National Socialism took the leadership in Germany, one often hears people talking in all sorts of places about race. It was not always that way. And now bear in mind, Deanna, a month after Hitler became the chancellor in a coalition government, and I emphasize coalition government, you had the World Jewish Congress, which considered themselves to be the legislative body. The Jews considered themselves to be a people, a stateless people. They considered themselves to be a nation without without a landless nation, declared war on Germany. So anyway, I think that's that has to be emphasized. It was not always that way. Even 2 years ago, our opponents, I'm getting back to Dr. Gross's radio address, avoided the word or mocked it. And the reason why I picked this radio address, Deanna, is it's relevant today. We hear this. We hear that whenever you bring race up, this is what happens today. The Marxist laughed if he even heard the term race, and those in the middle class just shook their heads. They all thought racial ideas to be unproven and worthless, or even dangerous. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, Neil, for 2012? It therefore does not surprise us that in the past years, people waged war against the word race. Well, this speech was given in 1934, and it's relevant. Everything he is saying in 1934 is relevant today in 2012. Today, everything is different, and some during the last 18 months even seem to think race is talked about too much. Maybe even some of you have shaken your heads in annoyance and said, we've heard enough about race. We don't even want to be forced to become doctors or biologists or some other sort and learn a caricature. So I'm going to go on to some of the points that he's making. I'm skipping ahead because there's a couple of others I want to address in the interest of time because we're almost through the first hour. Later on in this radio address, he says, the races are different because their blood is different. As the proverb says, not because civilization is further advanced in one place than another. We have to accept that, just as we have to accept that any natural law on this earth, that means that any attempt to establish international culture, government, or religion is fundamentally wrong and hopeless to attempt, since it ignores the great racial laws that the Creator himself set as finding laws for humanity. This knowledge provides the ultimate and deepest justification for our ethnic striving towards our own nature and uniqueness in politics, economics, culture, and perhaps also religion. Since peoples differ racially, each must follow his own nature, keeping it pure from physical or intellectual corruption. That is the great and essential conclusion of that the National Socialist draws from understanding of the racial teaching of science. Our common task will be to build a new age on this knowledge, and we believe and know that our future will then be happier because it will be based on foundations that are true. Now here, those are a few portions. He said some other very, very, very powerful things in that radio address. But there you have some very powerful statements. There's not a word of hate in that radio address. The basis of the racial policy has nothing to do with hate. And actually, he goes a step further in that last statement where he's saying that each peoples need to, you know, essentially preserve their own uniqueness. They weren't, I didn't see the word superiority in there by any means whatsoever. He was advocating that the Germans were going to preserve their own unique culture and civilization, and other nations should do the same thing, and the people was a scientific basis for race, blood, but he also hearkened to something that the Christian church used to preach until they were Judaized and corrupted by Jews. And that was that people were different and made different by their creator. And Dr. Gross even touched on that in this radio address in October of 1934, which I found to be just absolutely fascinating, because that used to be what the Christian church used to preach. And at some point they got corrupted and got all wrapped up in this multiculturalism and got wrapped up into this concept that there is no such thing as race, which is patently false.
Right.
He gave another speech, and he was always directing and focusing on the next generation, which was the youth. And this was another address that he gave in 1935. And this was in August of 1935. And this was, again, to boys and girls. The first speech I talked to you about was actually, I believe, to the Hitler youth. I could be wrong on my notes there. But in this speech, he says, dear German boys and girls, as we talk about blood and race this evening, we are discussing a theme that is at the center of today's intellectual and worldview battles. You all know that those who oppose our movement for political or worldview reasons have been forced more and more over time to grant the political and economic achievements of National Socialism. They can no longer be denied, even by the most hostile critic. Now, this kind of goes to the earlier discussion with Mr. Tews, by the way. As soon as the discussion turns to National Socialism's intellectual foundations, however, as soon as the idea itself is debated upon which and everything we do is based, there are objections. And as in the past, National Socialism's racial thinking is called into question or openly opposed. Now, there he's absolutely correct. That was recognized as, you know, 1935. You talk about the Autobahn, the critics default and say, oh, they were rabid racists. You know, they were hate mongers. Well, that's not true. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to prove that wrong today. But here you have Dr. Gross in 1935 saying, see, we talk about our achievements and they bring up race. And he was bringing this into view. He was bringing this into question. We see that if we survey the world press, as well as in discussions with groups within the country who still believe that they can reject individual aspects of the National Socialist worldview, their argument always turns to our racial policy. He then goes on.
And of course, they want to make that all negative, and that's the same thing that they do here in this country. When we say, oh, we should close the borders, we shouldn't be allowing all these third world people into the country.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit, because there's a legitimate, and we'll see this as we go into, we talk more about what his department was doing in Germany. He clearly, there was a discussion, and Dr. Gross approached his tasks and his position from science and reason and logic, and then he translated his work into periodicals, and at that time, radio. Germany was developing TV, but it wasn't in mass production, and discussed this with the German populace, the German population agreed with it. And that is, if this debate was going on today, the debate would be, does third world immigration, does this massive influx of third worldness benefit this nation? And the answer would be no. I mean, we have a huge influx of diseases, and that was one of the things that the National Socialists were talking about when they were talking about some of these foreign issues. At that point, there was issues of syphilis and cholera and other issues. We can talk about that, as it talks about 2012 and this third world population. We can talk about the drag and the undertow on the economy, which has happened. I mean, do we really think we would have this, these economic issues if we didn't have these absolute out of control third world immigration? The world, I think we know what the answer is. And this is, the difference is the National Socialists engaged in that debate. They were not afraid to engage in that debate. They weren't afraid to say, our nation, this is what our nation is, this is what our nation should be, and we're going to protect it, and we're going to approach this debate from a logical point of view based on science. And they didn't allow their science to be distorted by political correctness. Now, we have a situation in the United States where we know that homosexuality is a problem, and yet the American Psychiatric Association took it, delisted it as a mental condition because of political pressure. So we can't even have scientific discussions in the United States because everything is based on screamers and yellers and pressure groups and everybody screaming and this egalitarianism. It's hyper egalitarianism. We're hyper Weimar in the United States because there's a mass media and the money that is behind these groups is much greater, but the playbook is identical to what was taking place in Weimar.
Right. And of course, we have greater influx of other peoples into the country beginning way back in 1880, under the direction of the same people that want to maintain their identity.
Yes. And as we go through this, too, we'll see, getting back, the NSDAP had one primary concern, which, should be our concern as well. And that was the excessive influence and corruption by the Jewish population, which was a small segment of the population, but they were overrepresented in the key positions in the government bureaucracy, which is the wheels that run the government. They were overrepresented in the arts, the culture, which is a powerful influence on society. They had done tremendous amounts of damage during Weimar, and we see that in the United States today. So that's where their emphasis was. Some of the other issues, homosexuality and some of the other subgroups, those were not of primary issue. And we'll see that because I have the legislation that was passed by the Reichstag sitting here on my desk, which we're going to talk about. And the issue, if you look at what was happening in that nation and you look at the legislation that was passed in response to it, and the fact that you had a foreign stateless country that had declared war and was running around the world lobbying foreign governments to further economically cripple this nation, the response was actually very measured. It could have been, they could have taken far more excessive steps than what they did. It could have been much worse. Getting back to Dr. Gross's speech of August of 1935. Again, he was talking to German boys and girls, and he actually was talking about, the title of this speech was Blood is Holy. And he says, I have previously spoken about what I mean by racial thinking in a broad sense. And we'll see this. He wrote several books, and I'm attempting to find complete versions of those so we can translate those and return those into the public domain. I said then that the doctrine of blood and race is not for us primarily an important and interesting part of biological thinking, but above all, a worldview attitude that determines our fundamental approach to many aspects of life. The two most important facts underlying this approach are the knowledge of the power of inheritance and the knowledge of the deep and spiritual significance of racial differences within the community. Since we realize our dependence on inherited characteristics, we do not fall prey to old error of overestimating outward influences.
Okay. We do have a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call Get Berkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org, RNA drops.
Today is Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. And, you know, the fact that the Jews, a landless people, yet the traditional traders and middlemen worldwide could declare an economic-based war also indicates how much influence in the media and in the governments of most of the countries that traded with Germany. I mean, this is a huge influence.
Well, people don't, you know, they miss that. You know, they miss the fact that, you know, the war, World War II essentially began 2 months after the National Socialists came, you know, into a coalition government. They weren't even the government. I mean, Adolf Hitler was the chancellor under the Reich president, President Hindenburg, who still, you know, wielded, even though he was near almost dead, was still wielding power over the army and over, you know, had insisted that, you know, several of the cabinet positions be over the Nationalist Party. So, you know, the National Socialists didn't consolidate their power until 1935. And here was the World Jewish Congress publishing front page newspaper ads, Judea declares war on Germany, and then went right at it, urging these economic boycotts. And, you know, and it was, and of course, Germany, you know, was heavily dependent on the export of its products. And of course, this was a time the German economy was just absolutely smashed. And of course, I will also add that Mr. Toombs doesn't make any reference to that in his, doesn't really touch on it in his garbage book. But getting back to right before the break, we talked about, and you see in Dr. Gross's speech, he keeps hitting on racial differences. And I want to pause here for a minute and draw a comparison, Deanna, because in the final piece that I'm going to share, he really went into this. During Weimar, and I keep bringing up Weimar, you had the academicians, the Jewish academicians, they were really preaching this egalitarianism, and there's no real such thing as race and the kumbaya stuff. And of course, we're told that now. White children are told in schools there's really no such thing as race, and our daughters are told to, you know, to be submissive to other races, and you know, we should have, as my daughter said the other day, you know, I'm almost, you know, I feel like I'm being pressured to have a milkshake child, which is never going to happen, and I was actually proud of her, and that is, you know, I think that's a fair depiction. However, Deanna, institutionally codified into law in the United States of America are laws to preserve certain ethnic identities. For instance, the Indian Child Welfare Act mandates that Native American children cannot be, you know, it's very hard for a Native American child to be adopted or placed in the home of anything but a Native family. It has to go back to the reservation because it says that the government recognized the importance of preserving the ethnic identity of that child. Now, that's identity policy making, which is exactly what the National Socialists did. Right. Let's go a step further. There's been several lawsuits filed by Negro groups who object to these Hollywood types and other white families adopting black children because they say in their pleadings, they can't teach them how to be black.
How true. All righty. We will be right back after a 60-second top-of-the-hour break and a station identification. Be right back.